Mishnah, Yudei the Torah, Manshta, Yud Adar, Tavshin Behe, Rab David Eisenberg.
That's fine, I'm just taking it in your pocket and turn on. All good.
Get on, Vic. Working. Okay, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Feeling a bit quiet, okay. Are we all right over there?
Yes.
Yeah, just checking. Today I'd like to discuss an important topic. And I'll tell you how this topic came up. And I started looking into it, and there's a lot to be said about it. But we'll start with how I got into this. There's two things. Number one, I was learning a sugya, comes up in Bama Metzia, and more than one place, Migbas Purim Purim, Vemedakim Adova, that you collect money on Purim for Purim only, meaning to say you cannot take the money from Matanas Avyonim and give them to other things. You can decide, oh, you know what? We collect this harsh money of Matanas Avyonim, let's give some of it to the local mikveh. Can't do that. You collect it for Purim, it has to be given out for Purim. You can't give it for time for Shabbos next week either. It was given for Purim, it has to be given for Purim. Ve'emedakting medover. So the machleik is what this emedakting medover means. Some say emedakting medover means that you don't check so much how much is given to people for Purim. Because the main idea of the Purim collection is for people to have money to buy a Sudas Purim. So somebody comes to Reb Simcha. Reb Simcha has the Shtots Matanas Avyonim, although a lot of other people also have Matanas Avyonim, but the big one is Reb Simcha's Matanas Avyonim. And Reb Simcha comes in as a mishpacha that's nebuch in big financial difficulties, and they got £2,500 from him, let's say, for Matanas Avyonim. So you're telling me they're supposed to use that £2,500 for Sudas Purim? That's very, very lavish. Even in the Groys of Gevirim, okay, maybe in America it's different, you have meat boards and zachem, but even in the Groys of Gevirim, £2,500 is a lot of money to spend on a suit. I think we can all agree that that's lavish for no reason. It says, maybe not to give a dollar. You don't say, listen, how much does a suit this poem cost? £100? Here's 100. You want to make it big? 120. Beseder? No, aim and acting with a dollar. The other man almost says that no, emedakim medava doesn't mean in the amounts that are given, but emedakim medava that we don't check into it so much is talking about the individuals that we give to. As we know, kol ha'poshid yad noisim lo, whoever stretches out his hand, you give them. So there's also the emedakim medava that we don't look so much at who is giving and who's not giving and who's taking and who's not taking. You give, somebody asks for antaz yevanim, you take. So that is one halacha. On the other hand, a person has to know, you can't just give to anybody. You have little kids that are coming around and asking you for money, say, Matanas Avyonim, or Purim Gad, or whatever it is, you yoytzi Matanas Avyonim, but then obviously not. You can't give a little kid Matanas Avyonim for the school, for Tashbar, or whatever school, Jewish day, whoever they're going around for, that's not lo Avyonim. That's money that you give into a moisit. So even if I'm a document of and call up what you have nice in life, but you have to know that at least my minimum chiyuv, I'm fulfilling my minimum chiyuv. So how do I fulfill my minimum chiyuv? And from that we went on to the next question. And this is something that many people do. We've done it for many years already, and this is why the question came up. And the question is as follows. You want to give your Rebbe an envelope for Purim. Your kid has a Rebbe, whatever it is, he's in Eitz Chaim, he's in Tashbai, he's in Jewish Day, he's in Broughton Jewish, I don't care what school you're in. You want to give the Rebbe something. So many people wait till Purim, and they give it on Purim. It was interesting, I had a conversation with somebody recently, and I said to them that if you look at it, Purim as a single day is the single most expensive day in the entire Jewish calendar. If you look at it in a bigger picture, Pesach is probably more expensive than Purim. But Pesach, you divide the cost of Pesach, divide by 8 days is one thing. But Purim, by the time you finish paying for the costumes, and the shalachmonos, and the suda, and you've given an envelope to this one, an envelope that one, and the Natanas Yerim, etc. People I know are spending between £500 and £1,000 on Purim.
Is that all?
Okay, for some people more. Look, listen, you know, I got small hasogas. I'm just a rabbi, you know. You got to look at people according to their hasogas. I know there are people that are spending tens and tens of thousands of pounds also when they're giving huge amounts to tzedakah. But I'm talking about, you know, regular younger light could be spending 500, 600 pounds for that one day. So you're spending that kind of money. It's like 5,000 pounds over Pesach. I don't know if people are spending 5,000 pounds on that kind of thing over Pesach. So it is as a single most expensive day. But it's become expensive because certain things have become convention, not because they're part of the mitzvah. In the same way that Pesach cleaning and spring cleaning have become one big mush, but Pesach cleaning isn't spring cleaning. So a lot of ladies say the following. He says, yeah, but if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? I hear that, but don't stress the whole house out because that's not the reason. Pesach cleaning is still Pesach cleaning. In Ramah, I think he brings that the day before, in the afternoon before, Bedikas Chometz, Mechamdin es Habayis, you sweep through the house so that when you look for Chometz, there shouldn't be Chometz lying everywhere. It doesn't say start Purim time. Some people start ready Tu B'Shvat.
And before.
You know, okay, by the Yekis, by the Yekis, you know, Rosh Hashanah time already, there was no more food upstairs in the house. Pesach's coming. We just have Sukkot. No food upstairs. Zolzan, you know, everybody has their thing. But you start giving certain things that become conventions. So you give an envelope to a Rebbe. So now you say to yourself, you know what? Why should I give Matmanus Lev Yoinim? I'm going to go to Rebbe Simcha. I'm going to drop off whatever money it's going to be. I'm going to choose names out of a bag. I got Rebbe Cohen over here from this school. And Rebbe Israel here from that school. And they're teaching in a cheder. Probably they're not making up a Velt salary. Chances are, right? If they make a salary at all, and if they get paid at the end of the month, is also a nice thing, right? Same case. Why should I give Matanas Lev Yoinim and then on top of them give my envelopes? Let my envelopes be my Matanas Lev Yoinim, right? So I'm going to put 50 pounds to this Rebbe and 30 pounds to that Rebbe and 100 pounds to that Rebbe if I really like him. So that's it. So I've given now 180 pounds. That's a lot of money. That's the way Matanas Lev Yoinim, I give to three people. I should be Yoitz Matanas Lev Yoinim. Lechatchila should be lechatchila. Or do we say, who says your Rebbe is an Evyon? Just because somebody's teaching in a school doesn't mean that they can't rub two pennies together. Makes an Evyon? What makes a poor person? Pardon, what's the question?
No, I'm just an observation. I was speaking to a Rebbe. He's got 9 children. He says he doesn't have money to buy them shoes.
Okay, I'm sure that's true. That, you know, but I know other Rebbeim that do different things on the side. So they'll teach in the morning and in the afternoon. They have a bit of a business going on. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, they're okay.
Yeah.
They're not struggling the same way. So you can't assume, not all Rebbes are created equal. Are most Rebbes like what you've discussed? Yes, probably. Most Rebbes do a tremendous job under a tremendous amount of pressure with not so much money, with a lot of mysterious nefesh, and we all owe them a debt of gratitude. No question about it. But can you, from the bat, assume when you give your Rebbe money that you're giving somebody money that is actually an Oni Ve'Evyon? How do you define an Oni Ve'Evyon? Who is the Oni Ve'Evyon? Right? So that was the question that we got into a lot of discussion over there. I have a Chavrusa who's he's a governor in one of the schools. So we got talking, so I called him over and I said, listen, I don't want you to tell me how much they're paying, but just tell me, can you assume that every Rebbe in a school is an Evyon? Can you give them your money for Mishlach Mona, for Matanas Evyonim? Or do you need to give Bedavka to Reb Simcha or Reb Shlomo Hofer? There are lots of other people, trustworthy people all around town that are giving money for Matanas Evyonim, and you need to give them the money because they've really checked it out. You're not checked it out. You've not asked your Rebbe for his tax return. You're just assuming that your Rebbe, because his Rebbe doesn't have the money, you give it to them. Okay? And then the other question that becomes part of it is, if it's become a convention to give Rebbes an envelope on Purim, can you use that for Matanas Lev Yoinim? Because you're using a convention to pay off a debt of a mitzvah. Right? Like we know when it comes to Maisa Ksofim, when it comes to Maisa money, you can't pay off your Choyvis with Maisa money. So too, maybe you have an obligation over here to give your Rebbe. That's the convention. That's what everybody does. So you have no right to pay off your obligation with money of a mitzvah. You got to give separate money to Matanas Lev Yoinim and then separately like that.
So what did the school governor
say? Oh, the school governor, well, he didn't give away the salary, I'll tell you that much. But he said most people, so let's try to look into this now and try to see, you know, how do we define people that need to get money. So let's start with the first thing. It's called Matanos Le'Evyoinim. And there's a large discussion, what is an Evyoin and what's an Oni, right? Because we know that in Halacha and in Yiddishkeit, there's no such thing as proper synonyms. There might be words that mean similar things, but they're only similar. They're not the same. An Ani and an Evyon is not a poor person and a poor person. An Ani is one type of poor person, and Evyon is another type of poor person. And therefore the question becomes, so what is an Ani and what's an Evyon? How do we define them? And then we know what's Matanos Evyon. So, in Hashkafa and in Halacha, really, an Evyon is much more than an Ani. An Ani is a poor person that doesn't have what they need. An Evyon is described as one step down from that. He's destitute. Mamish doesn't have what he needs. Not just a person that doesn't have a little bit, but it's a person that really doesn't have. However, there's another Nakuda that's brought out of here also, which is an Evyon is somebody who's already desperate. When you talk to desperate people have desperate measures. They ask everybody for money, and wherever they go, they're constantly begging this one and that one, and I need this and I need that. Whereas where you have an Ani is very different. You can have an Ani, a poor person, where you have somebody that's fallen on hard times. He's done a business deal that's gone slightly sour, and now he's got no money. Or he's somebody that's only 100 or 200 pounds short a month. So he doesn't consider himself a tzedakah case. The problem is that he's putting money on his credit card. So he put money this month on his credit card, and next month on his credit card, and you know, many of you know the story over here, because they've seen people that have ended up in that, and suddenly there's 5, 6, 8,000 pounds of credit card debt, and it came from what? From 200 pounds short over here, and 300 pounds short over there, and now Kim Yontif was 500, 700 pounds short, but it jumps and jumps and jumps, and suddenly this person is significantly in debt and has significant payments they have to make every single month and can't make those payments. But that's not a person that's going to go out and ask for help necessarily, because they're not mamish drowning, and in their head they still say, yes, it's 8,000 pounds of credit card debt, but I'll find a way to pay it back. So they're not going to go to Tenbri Shabbos and ask them for money. So they might be even more needy. Can't remember who says this over here, but the Ani might actually be more needy than the Evyon, because the Ani is not willing to go out and ask for money, whereas the Evyon is willing to go out to ask for money. So if you have a person who's in terrible financial straits, but he's asking everyone for money, and you have one person who's not in terrible financial difficulty, but he's too embarrassed to open up his mouth, he might be worse off. The second guy, the Ani, might in this instance be worse off than the Evyon. And to add to that, although, you know, we know that this is not a klal, but in general, he says that nowadays to find people that are mamash of Yoinim that don't even have bread to eat, there are such people. Of course, there are people like that. Let's not ignore it. Let's not sweep it under the carpet. But it's not what it used to be. Used to go out in the shtetl, people were mamish destitute. They had nothing. The shtetl was a very difficult place. Rabbi Wein often speaks about the fact that people have these nostalgic remembrances and memories of the shtetl. He said the shtetl was a really rough place. Infant mortality rates were at 40%. People, their poverty was grinding. It was terrible. We have no idea what poverty is compared to them. Right? You mentioned before that we have a Rebbeim that can't afford to buy the children's shoes. Yes, that's poverty, and that exists in the shtetl also. But they still at least feed their kids. You know, I think their kids might not be going to school with an empty bag. But there are kids that aren't going to school with an empty bag, but the few and far in between. And so therefore, the other thing is that to find a true Evyon out there today is a very difficult thing. In general, you'll find Aniyim much more than you'll find Evyon. Okay? And you give, okay? So you give to that on. So how do we define an Ani now? So let's define what the Halacha says is an Ani, because there are different things to put in over here. Number one, so he brings from Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv that say that nowadays an Ani is somebody whose yearly salary does not cover his yearly expenses. That's what we call an Ani. So you say, oh wow, we've turned half of Broughton Park into Aniyim. Yeah, it's not such a simple thing. It's because calling a spade, a person with a young family, you know, you have 5, 6, 8, 10 kids, you need a hoin rav of money to put them through school and to pay your bills, with inflation to pay for food. It's become very, very expensive. Life is not cheap, as everybody here will know, and it's very, very difficult to make ends meet. So maybe, yeah, you'll say everybody's an Ani. On the other hand, you can say to yourself, and this is a conversation I had with somebody who was a governor and another governor in a school. He says, I can't tell people not to take a holiday. On the other hand, if somebody's not paying school fees and spend 3 weeks away in some kind of fancy resort in America, you feel as somebody who runs a school, you're taking the mick. You can't spend £20,000 on a holiday and say to me, I'm really sorry, school fees is very tight. Remotely, you must know what I'm talking about, yeah? You've seen this many times as a governor in a school. But you look at people, the cars that they drive, the holidays that they take, the things that they, you know, that they, and then you just say to them, where's your money? And they're like, they're chomnished. That could be. That could be. You never know. You never know what you see. That's definitely true. That's definitely true. And as somebody who has been taken away by other people, I can say that with a, you know, I can say that with raising my hands up and saying, like, you know, I've been to places. I've been to Pesach Hotel. Not on my salary. I guarantee you, not on my salary. Yeah. So somebody else paid for it. Yeah. So you're right. You can't always know. But on the other hand, it's you know, people feel sometimes very done in by that. So the question is also, can you define an ani as somebody, if somebody's not careful with their money, somebody doesn't have a cheshbon, just spends and spends and spends. And that's one of the things that gets so many people into trouble, is that they don't know what's coming in, and they have no idea what's going out. And suddenly they turn around and they're £5,000 in credit card debt, and they don't know how it happened. But if somebody sat down with them and said, well, look, this is how much you make, and this is how much you spend, you need to cut down somewhere, right? So is that an oni? You can get into conversation and say, maybe that's not an oni, that's just a person that's disorganized. But he really has enough money to be able to make it through the year if he was a little bit more frugal about the way he does things. Sometimes, right? So the oni defined over here by halacha is somebody who cannot make ends meet during the year. Which I would say, again, as I said, will include many, many people. Now, we don't know what's going on in somebody's bank account, and as many people will know, some of the wealthiest people are running around making a big thing of themselves, and in reality, the people that are really in the know that, you know, their fridges are bare, and you can have Jungalite that are making a huge amount of money, that have a little business on the side, or the wife works, or they've bought stocks and they've gone up, or when they got married, they got a little bit of money as a nadin from their shver, and they put in a property and went haywire, and then they bought one or two other things. And you can have, you know, it's happened. It happens one way, it happens the other way. We don't know what's going on in other people's pockets. So it's probably best, if you want to know for sure that you're being mekayim the mitzvah matan sev yoinim, not to guess, this guy's an oni, that guy's an oni. You give to somebody that knows what is, who is an oni, who's not, who's done a bit of digging into that, like Reb Simcha, like some of the other gaboyt stuck around town, like Tom Cheshavos, whatever it is, and if you give money to that, you know for sure that with that, you've been the mitzvah matanis of yoinim. And again, the mitzvah matanis of yoinim is not a fortune of money. You can give £10, and with that, you can certainly be mekayim matanis of yoinim. So if you want to give £100 matanis of yoinim, you say, okay, I'll give £10 to Reb Simcha, I've done that. Now, the other £90, I can give to whoever I want to. If it turns out that that person is not a proper oni, you already mimikai me mitzvahs matanis yoinim with the £10 a year. So you gave extra money to somebody else, and he wasn't as poor as you thought he was. Nothing worse should happen. Okay? Now here there's another very interesting discussion that they have in the poskim. Actually, there seem to be lots of interesting discussions on what's going on, especially because our financials have changed so much. Let's say you have an individual that in general can make ends meet, but in the last year or two, he made two or three chasanas, and that's wiped him out, as it happens to many people. If you have enough money to live on, in general, you're making £100,000, which is already a very nice salary, and your expenses are 95, and you're even putting £5,000 away, so you're doing okay, right? You're doing okay, and you're making you're chugging along, and you're paying for all your things, and you're living at that level already. You're living very comfortably, and suddenly comes a chasana, and the chasana is going to cost you £20,000 or £25,000, and now you got to send your son or daughter-in-law to Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to cost you noch on top of that, and. Is that now this person an evyon? Because he has a one-off large expense, does that make him an evyon, or do we say no? How did we define an oni? An oni is defined as somebody who doesn't have the money to make it through the year. This person does have the money to make it through the year. He's making more money than what he needs. He happens to have a one-off expense that has caused him a little bit of issues, a little bit of trouble. But he's not the etzem and Ani. If you ask this person, is this a poor person? No, he's not a poor person. He's making ends meet, he's living Mikovedik, he's doing all right. So over here in the Paiskim also, there's a discussion, if you have a person, you know, so he says, B'shem Rabbi Yashiv, that if the person sort of is going to take time to get through this, but be'etzem he can get through it, then it's not an evyon. Right? You have people that go through chasna, so I say, okay, it's going to take me, I have friends of mine that made chasna. He said to me, it's going to take me 2 to 3 years to pay everything off. I'll pay it off.
Then he has to make another chasna and then another.
Okay, it could very well be that. That's the compounding effect of a... So he's now got a bit of a break. He made 3 chasanas, and now he's got like a bit of a break. Like, you know, he had 2 boys that are a little bit further down. He had 3 girls, and now he's got 2 boys that are like 16 and 15. He's like, oh, phew. Takes me till 21. I got now 5 years to sort of catch my breath a bit. You're right. But if he's got another one and another one, it's just going to keep on compounding. So he says over here, if this is a person that's going to take him a little bit of time to catch up, but be'etzem he's going to make it... So he's not an evyon. He might have to tighten his belt slightly for the next year or two to be able to sort of pay everything off, but he's not an evyon. If this is a person who through these chasanas, he's made a chasana and a second chasana, and he's running from gemach to gemach, from this one to that one, from pillar to post, as we know happens so many times with so many different individuals, that person's become an oni. He might have had a very good salary, he might have lived till his daughter or son reached age 18, 20, 22, he lived very nicely. But now it's come to the point where he poshut can't manage. And by the time you add everything all together, he can't make it meet. So if you can't make ends meet, you can give him that money. That's considered matanas evyonim. So it will really depend on whether or not this is a person that is pulling his way out of things, or this is a person that's drowning. If he's drowning, matanas evyonim. If not, if it's just a question of time, he's not really an evyon. So you have people that get behind. You get behind the 8-ball for a little bit. You pull yourself back out. There are many people, even many business people, that have been in that situation. Okay? In addition, he also adds in over here something else. He says, can you give matonas evyonim to koil yungalat? He says, but sometimes you have koilim where... The koilel says, I'm not obligating myself to pay you a monthly salary. When we have, you will get. When we don't have, you won't get. Right? And there are koilel like that. They say, I'm not promising to pay you. I'm going to try to pay you. Which is it's a difficult position to be in. Yeah? So it says, if you have a younger man that is going to get, he's in a koilel like that, and you can't take him to din for anything. So he says you could probably end up giving him matonas evyonim for that, because that's a person that doesn't really, he doesn't have a clear salary. He says, yes, I do have somewhat of a salary, but he doesn't really. So you can go to matonas evyonim for that. Okay? Also, another thing over here that we spoke about before, when we're talking about, you know, giving money to matonas evyonim, let's get back to what we said before with the envelopes. You wanted to give an envelope to your Rebbe, or to your teacher, whatever else it is, your wife's teacher, and to your daughter's teacher, and you know that these aren't people of means. However, let's say it's now become the done thing. It's the done thing in your school that come Purim, everybody gives an envelope. Right? They used to make the joke, somebody once said to Rothschild, a Malamed said to Rothschild, he says, if I was Rothschild, I'd be even wealthier than him. He says, why? He says, I'd be Rothschild, and I'll get all the envelopes I get on Chanukah. Yeah, okay, you know, you have to have a Malamed's cup for that kind of thing. But that's the kind of attitude that you have. But sometimes in certain places, it is the Dover, you know, it's the Dover Hanog. It's the done thing. Last week I was in Satmar. I was actually discussing it with one of the Chavra over there in Satmar. So he said to me, this fellow in Satmar 11 says, everybody, and I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I can't speak for Satmar, but this is what he said. He says, come Purim, everybody gives an envelope to the Rebbe. Everybody. It's considered not menschlich. That's when you give. Once a year, or maybe more often than that, but certainly this is once a year where everybody puts money in an envelope, and the Shalach Monas has to contain an envelope. So if you're putting money in the Shalach Monas because it has to contain an envelope, so now you already have a chiyuv to pay somebody this money. If you don't give this money, then you're considered some kind of karga idiot. Yeah, that's what it is. You got to give this money. This is not money. This is not like you can if you want to. This is a social convention where everybody gives us money. So there again, similar to what we said about my sister, this fellow asked me, he says, no, so can I give that money for matanas of yanim or not? So the answer to the question is as follows. If it's a convention that everybody gives that money for the Rebbe, you cannot use that for matanas of yanim. The reason being, you cannot give tzedakah money to pay off your obligations. And since there's an obligation to give money, this is a perceived obligation in this school, to give money to your Rebbe, to your teachers on Purim, you cannot pay for that obligation with tzedakah money. You can't pay the obligations with tzedakah money. Right?
However, comes from the assumption that the Rebbe's were a name.
And that's another assumption that we're making, okay? But I think... that's the other thing that we said before. There's an assumption that the Rebbe is a noni, which I would say in 90% of the cases would probably fit the category that we mentioned before of not being able to manage through the year. But you can say, you can find the exceptions. You find 10% of that is the exception to the rule. The guy's not a noni. So you have that to add to it as well. But here you have an obligation to give. Whereas I would say, let's say if 60% of people give to Matanas, to the Rebbe's, but 40% don't give. And I don't think that's an obligation to give, because that means 4 out of 10 parents in this class did not give the Rebbe an envelope, even if 6 out of 10 did give the Rebbe an envelope. Okay, that's the other thing. You give them, all right. But you're nice, and that would be another thing to keep in mind, is how many people are actually giving envelopes or not giving envelopes. But there's one other thing to keep in mind. Let's say if you said to yourself, let's say you knew your Rebbe was an oni, your Rebbe was a poor person, your son's Rebbe is really in dire straits and he's having a hard time, and you knew he is worthy of receiving Matanas of Yoyim, but it's the done thing to give to the Rebbe, to Rebbein. So now, because it's a done thing to give to Rebbein, you cannot give him that money because it's a done thing. There is one other thing that you could do. You could say to yourself as follows. I was going to give this Rebbe 50 pounds. Yeah? Instead, I'm giving him 100 pounds because that extra 50 pounds I want to give for Matanas Avraham to that individual. That you would be allowed to do. Because you would be quite content to fulfill your obligation with 50 pounds. And if a Rebbe received an envelope with 50 pounds from any of their Talmidim, they'll be very happy with that. They didn't feel like, oh, you know what? I'll fulfill my obligation to the Rebbe with 2 quid and I'll give him the other 48 as Matanas Avraham. If you handed your Rebbe 2 pounds, it's more embarrassing to give the Rebbe 2 pounds than to give him nothing. Yeah? If you're going to give a bad envelope, sometimes don't give. It's more embarrassing to take rubbish than it is to take, you know, than not to take. At least I don't have to swallow my pride for 2 pounds. But to swallow my pride to have to take somebody else's envelope, for there to be only 2 pounds in it, come on. That's just not nice. Okay? So there has to be a menshuch amount inside it. Once you put in a menshuch amount and you know that the person is an onion, you say to yourself, in addition to the menshuch amount that I want to add into that, I also want to add into that another 50 pounds and make that matanase of yoinim, that you could do. Because if you had planned on giving here, and now you give here extra because you're giving that as matanase of yoinim, that you're allowed to do. Similarly with maaser money. You know, people discuss, can you use maaser money to buy certain raffles? So there we say, how much would you have paid for that raffle? Let's say the raffle takes 100 pounds. So you would have paid 40 pounds to go into the raffle ticket from your own money. So 40 you got to pay yourself. 60 you can take from Meiser. Because that's the extra that you pay because it's tzedakah. But if you're willing to pay 40 pounds on that, and the ticket is 40 pounds, so then why taking that money from Meiser? You're just happy to buy that ticket because you'd be happy to buy it from your pocket. So that you can't do. So here too, if you want to give the Rebbe an extra bit amount of money because of Matanas Avraham, you know he's an Evyon, you can do that. The basics, if that's the accepted norm in your Kehillah, then you won't be allowed to do that. Okay, so we'll finish over here. We hope that everyone should be able to be Yotze. The Matanas Avraham, the Hidra Rav, there are many great tzedakahs you can give the money to, whether it's Reb Simcha, whether it's Tamri Shamas, there are other great people that are taking money that know exactly what it is. Klal Yisrael is a special, special nation. How much money is given in Matanas Avraham in one day by Klal Yisrael is something that you could take the entire Manchester and you could say, how much charity is given by the entire Manchester? You'd say probably by what one tiny little corner of Broughton Park, Prestwich and Lower Broughton, etc., etc., could make up for hundreds of thousands of people of charity that they give over an entire year. So God, we should all be zeichet to be yotzei the mitzvah, the chatchila, all of us, and the mitzvah shomer should all not have to be able to find a v'yonim and to find them to give it to, but rather everybody should have what they need. Anyway, saying Rabbanon Kanish? Kanish? No? Okay, thank you very much. Is that what it is?